Good morning, listeners. You're listening to Positively Revolting with guest host Layla Kanon and Jenka Soderberg. We're talking about Oregon ballot measures, and we have a great panel of guests today. So if you're an Oregon voter and have your ballot handy, pull it out and follow along. We'll be taking your calls a little later in the hour, so stay tuned and get your questions and comments ready.
All right. Thanks, Layla. I'm Jenka. And here with us this morning, we have Juan Carlos Ordonez speaking about measures 103 and 104. Welcome, Juan Carlos.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And we have Natalie Paravicini from the No on 105 campaign. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you very much for having us.
And then we have Kalpana Krishnamurti with Forward Together, one of the members of the No Cuts to Care, No on Measure 106 coalition. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Remember, it is now too late to mail in your ballot, so you need to drop off your ballot by this coming Tuesday at 8 p.m. at one of the drop-off locations, Pioneer Square, the Multnomah County Election Office at Southeast 11th and Morrison, or any public library. So we're going to start by having each of our guests introduce themselves and which measures they're here to talk about and whether they are asking for a yes or no on the measures.
And we have another guest, so you want to introduce yourself first and the measure that you are going to be talking about?
Good morning, all. My name is Ivan Hernandez, and I am working on the No on Measure 105 campaign. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Great. So let's start actually then with 105, and maybe you could talk about what is Measure 105. We know that it's an anti-immigrant measure. What is it, and what will be the impact?
So Measure 105 would repeal Oregon's 31-year-old anti-racial profiling law. The law has protected Oregonians from being detained or stopped simply because of the way they look, they sound, or their perceived immigration status. This law has kept, if Measure 105 passes, it would open the door to racial profiling and other civil rights violations, which is why we are urging the public to vote no on Measure 105.
Great. And Kalpana, can you tell us a little about Measure 106?
Sure. Measure 106 cut access to reproductive health care for more than one in four Oregonians who are on the Oregon Health Plan. And what it does is eliminate access to abortion. And since we know that abortion is health care, the No on 106 campaign is asking Oregonians, as they have done four other times, to protect access to reproductive health care and abortion by voting no on Measure 106.
And we're going to have more questions about that, obviously, how this is a response to Roe v. Wade, how this is even possible. But we'll talk a little more about that. And Juan Carlos, could you introduce Measures 103 and 104?
Sure. Measure 103 is basically a preemptive attempt by the grocery industry, and specifically three Fortune 500 companies, as well as the soda industry, Coke and Pepsi and so on, a preemptive measure to exempt themselves from further taxation in Oregon to any further contribution to the common good. It's a broad and risky attempt to change Oregon's constitution. Measure 104 is, you can think of Measure 104 as the Corporate and Special Interest Tax Loophole Protection Act, because what it would do, it would change Oregon's constitution to make it exceedingly hard to get rid of wasteful and out-of-date tax breaks.
Mm. Wow. And listeners, we are going to be taking calls a little later in the hour, so definitely keep your questions in mind. Our phone number, which you can take down now, is 503-231-8187. We want to go over a little bit of these measures before taking your calls, so we all know and we're on the same page here. So let's move in a little more to Measure 105.
So,
yeah, Natalie, go ahead.
Yes, Measure 105, as Ivan mentioned, opens the door for anybody who looks brown or Latino to be harassed by police. And two of the reasons why this is so dangerous is it poses a safety concern for the population at large, because anybody who sees a crime and is undocumented or looks undocumented is not going to be willing to put their family and themselves at risk to report crimes. And so that impacts all of the non-whites as well, and particularly women who are victims of domestic violence. And On another area which is not very often talked about, but economically is a disaster for Oregon. Oregon is an agricultural state. And if you look at the fields or the nurseries or the canneries, it's predominantly Latino. So if you don't have immigrants in this country, you don't have food on your plate. And immigrants contribute close to $600 million in taxes, from their own taxes to the state. So just imagine $600 million away from your state budget. But nobody talks about that.
Wow.
Yes, it's just a distraction.
So again, this is an anti-immigration measure that would that was put together by Oregonians for Immigration Reform, a group that has associations with national white supremacist organizations, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. This measure would remove Oregon's status as a sanctuary state and require law enforcement in the state to cooperate with ICE. So, Yvonne, what will the immediate impact of 105 be?
So we believe that Measure 105 would make us less safe. We know that the trust is a foundation of good policing, and we don't believe anybody should be afraid to call the police if they're reporting a crime, right? We don't believe that anybody should be afraid that their families are going to be torn apart, or they might be detained simply for reporting a crime. And as Natalie mentioned, right, witnesses are going to be afraid to report things. And this does impact domestic violence survivors and other people. We've seen stories come out where people, where undocumented people have come out and been key witnesses to major crimes because they are protected by this law, because they know they can't be hounded or persecuted because of the color of their skin, or simply because they are reporting a crime. And they have mentioned that they would not have come forward if they did not have this protection. So we need to make sure that Measure 105 does not pass, because it affects all of our safety, whether you are a person of color or not.
I mean, I think it's incredible that Measure 105 and any of these measures have made it onto the Oregon ballot. We're supposed to be a progressive state, and here are these really regressive measures that we're being asked now by progressive organizations like your organizations to vote against. And so I think we're in a really interesting position right now that that most of the measures on the state ballot are a no vote from a progressive perspective.
So I know that Oregon has this aura of being progressive, but I think the Southern Poverty Law Center also mentions that it is one of the hotbeds for neo-fascism and white nationalism. And so maybe that's why they're focusing also in Oregon. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a concerted campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Did you want to add something about the regressive measures that are going on here, Kalpana?
Well, I think it's important, particularly around Measure 105, for Oregon voters to consider that we are being used as a testing ground, that this is a active strategy to try to get voters to turn away from our shared values to protect all of our communities and to protect immigrants, and that this is a testing strategy to see whether we can pass something like this. And if we can, then it gets exported. And we saw Oregon get used as a testing ground in the 1990s around anti-gay ballot measures. This is the exact same thing. The white supremacist and nationalist movement is using Oregon as an anti-immigrant testing ground. And if they can win here, then they know they can win other places that have a less progressive history, that have a less progressive voter base. And so Oregon voters need to shut this down, not just for Oregon, but because we need to slam dunk this so that this is a strategy that is a losing strategy.
Mm-hmm. And Juan Carlos, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, and part of the reason why we're seeing these regressive measures, especially particularly in the case of Measures 103 and 104, is that we have a ton of out-of-state money, corporate money, special interest money coming in and basically trying to dictate to Oregonians tax policy and how we fund essential services. So it's clear that that's at play as well here.
Yeah, it's a record amount of money coming in. We've got $11 million in out-of-state money, much of it promoting these measures from big corporations, like the big grocery corporations, as you talked about, for Measure 103. Also on the opposition, the side that all of you are on, trying to oppose these measures, like on Measure 103, former New York City Mayor Bloomberg has put $1.5 million into opposing it. How much out-of-state money is coming in on the opposition as well?
Well, last I checked, I mean, there's just Kroger's, Costco, and Albertsons have poured in over $3 million combined. And then we've had the soda industry pour in, I think, $1.7 million recently. So it's really, and that really, I mean, if you want to understand Measure 103, it really helps to follow the money, because while the measure has a sort of the proponents claim that this is just to make sure that your groceries are not taxed, the reality is that these corporations don't care about whether Oregon families' taxes go up or not. What they care about is whether their taxes go up, and that's why they're putting in all this money. It's an investment for them to exempt themselves from further taxation.
Yes, and I would like to, on the looking into what we can do about it, I think that the biggest danger is apathy. Like, because you don't see that it's going to be affecting you. You're just like, I'm too busy to send a ballot in, or I'm too busy to do a phone banking, or I'm too busy to knock on doors. You cannot let apathy win the day. Like, we have to be on the ground. You have to be on the ground for others, because it's going to affect you. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't been phone calling or emailing or... And it's better to do it in person or to call in person. If you haven't been doing the action, you have to get on your feet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's we're in really serious times, you know, as they say, first they came for the immigrants in this case here in this state. And again, those ballots are due on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday by 8 p.m. You can hand in your ballot. At this point, you will need to hand in your ballot because you can't mail it in. You should have gotten it in the mail. If you did not, the election office is at Southeast 11th and Morrison. You can go there, you can check in, you can get a ballot if you have not gotten one in the mail, and you can hand it in there. So that's a real convenient near downtown place. It's Southeast 11th and Morrison. You can also hand in your ballot at any of the local public libraries are the places to hand in the ballot. But as Natalie said, this is a really important and strangely close election this coming Tuesday for these ballot measures in Oregon. So it's really important that you do get your ballot in. And we want to talk a little more about measures 103 and 104, which are taxation measures. And then we're going to talk again. We have our guests here talking about measures 103, 104, 105, and 106, and urging a no vote on all of those measures.
So let's just start with 103. Measure 103, again, would prevent the enactment or increase of any state or local fee or assessment on the sale of groceries. Currently, Oregon does not have a statewide sales tax, including on groceries, but has no law preventing local governments from establishing such a sales tax. The prohibition on taxes or tax increases on grocery sales would apply to any tax or fee put in place on or after October 1st, 2017.
It's retroactive.
Juan Carlos, what would be the implication if Measure 103 was passed?
Well, the first thing that it would do, and it's a broad and risky measure that would change Oregon's constitution, but the first thing it would do, it would preemptively exempt the grocery industry and the soda industry from many possible changes to Oregon's corporate taxes. So for context, it's important to understand that the corporate taxes in Oregon have been declining over the decades. Today, they are only about a third of what, in relative terms, only about a third of what they used to be back in the 1970s. And there's a lot of need in our communities. We have chronically underfunded schools. We have a statewide housing crisis, not just here in Portland, but statewide. It's very severe. We need to make a lot of investments in our people to improve the quality of life of Oregonians. So these corporations have seen the writing on the wall. There's a lot of conversations about making greater investments. And the most obvious place to go, in my view, and in the view of many, is corporate taxes, because there's been such a decline. And so the grocery industry and Big Soda have come in, and basically this is a preemptive measure so that they won't be affected by many of the changes that are being discussed. No one has discussed taxing food. I mean, no one in their right mind in Oregon would do that. Even a sales tax, no one has seriously proposed one in a long time, because it's failed 9 times already at the ballot box. So it's an unnecessary measure. I mean, no one's proposing to tax food. But you know, if you wanted to prevent taxes on food, this would be a 2-sentence ballot measure. But that's not what it is. It's a broad measure. They will have a bunch of unintended consequences. So, for example, it would exempt the trucking industry from increases to corporate taxes. It also will make it really hard. It takes away local control over matters of community finances and community health, because it prevents, taxes being applied to restaurant meals. And 2 Oregon communities have already done that. And so it would take away the power of other communities from doing the same. Or taxes on sugary beverages, which is an important discussion that's going on right now. And so Big Soda is coming in and basically preempting, squashing that conversation.
Now, we've heard, and I wonder if you could address this, that this could possibly prevent any future increase in the amount of money that people get for handing in cans, because of inflation, that a court could interpret it that way.
That is one of the issues that folks have raised. There's a number of sort of loose language in this provision. So there's a lot of potentially unintended consequences here on exploded bombs. And one thing is clear, that when it comes to tax policy, corporations and special interests have tons of lawyers and accountants figuring out what the loopholes are. So this measure will create a field day for these special interests and corporations. So if they will make that argument, they'll make a bunch of other arguments for why they should be exempt from taxation as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking to Juan Carlos Ordonez, one of the number of panelists we have here in the studio, about Measure 103. We're talking about 103, 104, 105, and 106 this morning, and our guests are urging no votes on all of those measures.
So, like you said, Measure 103 is long and convoluted and confusing, at least in the way it's presented by its supporters. And some media outlets like The Bulletin, The Daily Historian, and KOHI have stated their support for the measures by saying food is a necessary and shouldn't be taxed, and all of Oregon should ban grocery taxes by voting yes on Measure 103. If Measure 103 was passed, what future revenue for counties could this prevent?
Well, immediately it's just a preemptive measure, so no county has done it, or the state. So, but what it would do is it would prevent local communities, for example, from deciding to tax restaurant meals. And the Ashland and Yahats are 2 communities that their residents chose to enact a tax on restaurant meals as a way to pay for their sewer repairs, for parks, important public services. And local communities, we have to understand, are extremely have very few options in terms of raising revenue because of our convoluted property tax system. That's a very reasonable option for them to consider. So it would prevent other communities from making that decision. It would also prevent communities, for example, from saying, we're going to tax sugary beverages due to the obesity epidemic. Again, that's a conversation, a decision that should be made by Oregonians and by local communities, not by Coca-Cola or Pepsi. And so it would prevent, those are just 2 obvious examples of how it would hamstring communities.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Oregon's taxes here in this state. Oregon's somewhat unique, doesn't have sales taxes. Voters have consistently voted against imposing sales taxes, as you point out. State's corporate taxes are also extremely low, second only to Delaware, which is known as a tax haven for large corporations. This makes it difficult to fund the state government in a lot of ways. The school system, public employment, retirement, and transportation are consistently underfunded in the state of Oregon, which is why why progressives are coming together to find creative ways to fund programs in the state with restrictions on the taxation, as you point out. This will make it even more difficult for providing the needed funding for programs here in our state.
That's right. And you know, there's a big conversation going on about the need to reform our corporate tax system. And this is basically throws a monkey wrench in that process. It makes it harder. It will exempt some companies while leaving others to pick up the slack.
Yeah, and I would like to say that I find it outrageous that a few large corporations are going to undermine our democratic process and embed in our constitution limitations on what we can do to support ourselves. And this is this whole mentality that taxes are bad. You need taxes. You know, the roads, the hospitals, the schools, all of these services that people really depend on, you wouldn't have them without the taxes. Taxes are not bad. Taxes are bad when they're spent on the military system, but not when they're spent on people. So this whole mentality that taxation and taxes are bad is something that we need to address and change people's minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, inequitable taxes, the fact that corporations pretend to be persons and then they're not going to pay taxes is outrageous. Mm-hmm. I'm just outraged.
Yeah, and again, this isn't a tax on individuals. This isn't a tax on you as a person here in the state of Oregon. It's a tax on the major corporate grocers. It's not a tax at all. It's just they're trying to prevent any future taxes on the major corporate grocery chains.
Yeah, that's right. And it's again, if you really want to understand this measure, follow the money. I mean, that's why just three of the nation's Fortune 500 companies are pouring a ton of money to convince Oregonians to with a deceptive message to enact this constitutional change.
So moving on to Measure 104, it's about requiring a supermajority in the state legislature for any bill that would raise taxes. Could you tell us who put together Measure 104 and what is their reasoning for pushing it?
So special interests there are behind this, mainly the realtors, both nationally and locally. They're pouring a ton of money into it. But just to correct one thing, it's not a supermajority requirement to raise taxes. That actually already exists in Oregon's constitution. It was enacted in the late 1990s. For the longest time, the lawyers for the legislature had interpreted this provision to say that constitutional provision of a supermajority. So in other words, you need a three-fifths of the legislature to pass it, not just the simple majority that normally it takes to pass a law. That supermajority requirement also extends to closing tax loopholes. We had already always argued, no, that's wrong. That's incorrect interpretation of the law. Well, a couple of years ago, the Oregon Supreme Court came out with a case that said exactly that. It does not take a supermajority to close tax loopholes. That's not a tax increase. And that was based on existing well-settled law. And so all of a sudden, it opened the door to closing a bunch of wasteful and out-of-date tax loopholes. And so the special interests saw the writing on the wall and have seen that, okay, we can no longer with a minority of lawmakers prevent the will of the majority. So they've now they've put forward this proposal to do exactly that, to gum up the works. It's a supermajority requirement has to be understood as the weapon of the powerful minority, because that's what it cedes. It's undemocratic. It cedes control to the minority, and not just any minority, a powerful minority armed with